What was that face for?
I don't know. I just want to make a face.
Welcome to 1,000 Ways to Fly here on Brotherly Pod. Also, episode 799 of Brotherly Pod, I believe. Oh,
damn it. Too close. I wanted to be on 800 then. Shit.
But, our last newest show here. Noli Pod returned. Dylan got his show. So it's time Papa gets his show as well.
Damn right.
1,000 Ways to Fly. New chapter here on... You know how long I've been sitting on this name, by the way? Years.
Really?
Years.
It
was in the... I had it as a secondary option for the Season 3 makeover, which was Flyerside Chat, Friggin' Flyer, and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And just never got to use it. And I've been sitting on it ever since, waiting for a time to break it out. And God damn it, that time is now.
It was destiny. It was true fate that I was meant for that name. This is my show.
It is. Your show. And we get... God, how many, what are we, 15 days from the trade deadline? Woo-hoo. No, everyone, I'm not going to talk about Sean Walker again. I'm over it. Talked
Just
about
don't
it
resign
on
him. There you go.
Three that's shows. It. Don't resign Sean Walker. That's it. That's it and that's all. That's all I have left to say. If you want my opinions, listen to the Noella show, listen to the Dylan show. Fuck this guy. Fuck this front office for even considering resigning him. But don't bring him back.
You don't have to say anything, but I just want to say, I think it's so asinine that people think, oh, well, it's better to sign him than to let him just walk. Where I'm like, we could probably get like six more Sean Walkers in the next 3 years. That would probably help us a little better. That's all I have to say about that.
Ideally, they would keep him for the playoff push, get their shit kicked in by the Hurricanes in the first round, and then just lose him in free agency anyways. Hands down, the dumbest possible outcome to this scenario.
I think you just need to trade him.
Just trade him.
All right. That's it. That's all my 2 cents on Sean Walker. Get him out of here.
We can bring up Oli Alekseï again. This guy's not playing again.
It's really frustrating actually to see that like people like Mark Stahl keep getting ice time and Oli Alekseï is just sitting in the press box.
When was Oli Alekseï recalled? January 23rd.
Yeah, it's been almost a month and he hasn't done shit. I mean, granted, there's been some breaks within the month,
which is even dumber that he was up during the entire All-Star break, by the way. While the Phantoms got their fucking shit wrecked the entire time, they continue to.
Help them.
He was called up on the 23rd. He's played 4 games.
That's just and he. Well,
in one of those
time?
4 games, he played 4 minutes and 30 seconds of ice time.
What's the point? Like, this is what's kind of concerning about the prospect pool is we're not playing any of these guys yet. Mark Stahl is playing 10 minutes outside and not doing goddamn shit.
Well, they got to showcase him for the trade deadline.
Yeah, I can't wait to get that guy.
I saw that excuse on Twitter before we started the show, and I was ready to fucking just alt F4 life.
I think I saw the exact tweet you're talking about. It's just...
Well, they got to play Mark Stahl to showcase him, because the fact that he's been sitting on the bench for the last 4 months, you know.
It's ridiculous. I can't wrap my head around what's the point. Even if we're to get a 6th round pick for him, whoop-de-fucking-do. We have a guy who may make the Phantoms bottom six, if we're lucky. You know what I mean? There's no point in signing him. And I've talked myself to death about that. But at this point, because we keep doing this 11-7 bullshit, now we can't get Oli Alekseï playing. We can Bobby Brink's down in AHL. And
I am curious with Forrester hurt. He's still, I don't think he's playing tonight.
No, trying to find out the lineup.
I'll be very interested, you know, when he's good to go. Do they actually put him back in the lineup, or they just say, nope, we have an entire veteran group of 11 forwards now. We don't even need Forrester. He can be the next one out. They've been waiting for a chance to take him out all year.
What's their record the last? So they lost to the Devils. They lost to the Maple Leafs. They beat the Coyotes and the Kraken. Wow, great feat. So there's still more winning than losing, and I don't know how long it's been since Forrester's been out. He was out when?
It's been a while.
Was it the Red Wings?
Tyson Forrester. He's been out since February 10.
Okay, so it was the Kraken. Oddly enough, so since they've been without him, they actually have a losing record.
Oh, what a surprise.
I mean, anyone could probably beat the Coyotes, especially with Morgan Frost in the roster. But having the Maple Leafs, well, watching what the Maple Leafs did to us, or namely Austin Matthews, and then having just not showing up for that outside game, I'm kind of interested to see how they kind of bounce back from this tonight.
They just throw random players together. Why is Cam Atkinson on the top line with Couturier and Tippett right now?
Is that the line?
Tippett, Couturier, Atkinson, Farabee, Frost, Konechny, Cates, Poehling, Hathaway, Delorier, and Lawton. And then it's York, Drysdale, Sealer, Walker, Zamula, Sanheim.
Okay, well, at least Mark Stahl's... Oh, wait, no, I see... Never mind, I see Stahl right there. Fuck! God damn it!
No, so, yeah, he's your... He's your 12th forward.
Oh, fucking hell, dude. There's no way you're showcasing Mark Stahl to get someone. I can understand Sealer or Walker and keeping them in the lineup. That makes 100% sense. So, wait. Risto's out. Risto's hurt.
Yes.
Right?
Risto's still out.
So Risto's hurt, Forster's hurt, and we're doing 11-7. God.
While Ole Lexell, their top forward prospect, has been sitting in the box for, a month.
And this is, I know you've raised this question probably a bunch, but it's just, this trade deadline is going to be so interesting to see, because I think it's going to at least give you hopefully some sort of shit or get off the pot kind of realization with this Flyers front office, because I don't know. I'm starting to already lose my faith in Danny Briere. I didn't have much trust in him, but I also didn't want to write him off completely. But I just don't know what the idea is supposed to be. It feels like there's a bit of pandering, and I'm trying to be facetious. A bit of a pandering on trying to get the old fans back, but it's like they always keep saying rebuild, rebuild, rebuild. But like you said a bunch of times, they have what, 18 of their 23. People
18 of the 23 players on this roster today are already under contract for next season, and that is before Sealer or Walker, whom they are apparently considering re-signing.
I hope that's not true. I really do. I hope it's not true. These guys are not worth keeping for the long run if we're doing year one of a rebuild. Even if we do, say, get to deep into the second round, maybe even somehow luck into a third round in the playoffs, there's really no point to keeping them. I just, they're a hot commodity right now because not everyone else has them, but it's not like you can't get more of them down the line. We should be thinking more ahead like this. I was actually something I wanted to bring up with, I think the Penguins are going to lap us in a rebuild. I'm 100%.
I had the same thought this afternoon when I saw that they may be selling Jake Guentzel and kind of starting over. I'm like, these motherfuckers are going to, they're going to lap us.
I'm pretty sure that the
5 years
was,
from now, they're going to be competitive again. The Flyers are still going to be a bubble team. Maybe they will. Maybe they won't make it.
And yet the Penguins will have the next generational player in the next few years. And we're going to get another Mario Lemieux, Sidney Crosby dynasty with the Penguins again. And everything's going to be, it's going to be the Blackhawks. It's going to be the Penguins. Maybe the Red Wings will now have we'll get someone in the future, get another Pavel Datsyuk. I can totally now just see we're going to go back to early 2010s, that decade, if we don't make some sort of serious move soon. We have so many questions that I don't think people want to even answer, or they're like, no, we're good, we got Travis Konechny and we got Mishkov coming.
There's
and
no long-term thinking here. Everyone is so, and it's like, everyone gets all pissed off at me every time we talk about this topic, because heaven forbid we question Danny Briere, but, it was never about this year.
No.
No matter what happens this year, they're not going to win a cup. Everybody knows that. It is about building towards the future. It's about building something sustainable. And the fact that they all seem, both coach, players, GM, front office in general, seem, hey, we're totally content being a hard-working bubble team.
We're the Philadelphia cultures, baby. At least we have a great culture.
And everyone's like, oh, they're not going to actually resign Sean Walker and Nick Sealer. And, there were rumors back in December with Sealer as well. The talk back then that they were going to resign him. And it's like, well, they're not actually going to do it, right? And then they bring back fucking Ryan Poehling. And it's like, clearly the option of re-signing all your depth players and running this back is on the table. There's proof that they're willing to do it.
It's either goes one of two ways with that Ryan Poehling trade. It's either the writing on the wall, Scott Lund's getting out of here by the trade deadline or by the end of the season, off season, or
was it
they really
Volley
are going to run
like,
it back.
They had Lawton. It's like, well, they're going to consider trading Lawton, but the price tag's really high. So they're going to attempt to, but they don't actually want to. Which guess is going to be the same story with a lot of these guys. Same thing with Walker. Well, we tried to move him, but nobody gave us a first-round pick, so we just had to bring him back. I mean, the same thing with all of them.
And this is the confusing thing. Is like, yes, I like that we're in a winning mindset, and let me tell you, nothing was more frustrating these last few years than watching the last group of players just quit some like halfway through the season and just like completely run out of gas. Nothing was more frustrating than that. And I love that we're kind of working hard, and I love that we are fighting for every game. Sometimes that's a lot of fun, and this hockey season hasn't been completely unenjoyable. But it's great. Woohoo. We're having one great season after being the seventh worst team in the league. And we're going to sign everyone else, and we're going to keep that same culture. So we're topping out with Owen Tippett and Travis Konecny. And we're not going to build further on that, which is what we should have been doing in the rebuild. We should be getting these higher up players. I hope to fucking God that if we're trading the Sean Walker and Nick Seeler or one of the two or Risto or whoever the fuck to get a first round pick, we are going to seriously consider either taking those three and moving up or trading someone like Scott Lawton or Travis Konecny to move up a little higher and get someone worth getting in the draft.
No, they're going to lose all three of their first 20th, 22nd, and 27th overall. Champion the shit out of these guys. They're going to play 7 years in the AHL because the Colts is just too good in the NHL to let them play because that's what they do with their prospects. And then they'll eventually get their opportunity and they won't be shit. Which is
they'll get 10 minutes of ice time three every three games, and then we gave him a shot.
Yeah,
we gave him a fucking shot. Look,
played 36 games. What more do you want?
Yeah, he's already proven to us that we can't do it. It's not like he's been playing consistently in the NHL and getting his feet wet, but you know, obviously he's a bust. All of our prospects are bust because Tortorella keeps sitting him for some goddamn reason. Don't get it. It's just, what was I going to say? I lost my train of thought because I'm just so freaking I had this thought today. I think everyone thinks we're going to get like a David Pastrnak, like someone who is more of a late round draft pick. And we're going to get this just diamond in the rough. That's going to become a star player. And the last 10 years prove we're not going to get that. Like, how high was Travis Konecny? He was like 14th overall or something. He was like 22nd.
Further than
22nd?
That, wasn't he? 17th, 20th, something like that.
22nd overall. like he's probably been the best player 24th. We've gotten. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I rest my case. He's probably been the best player we've gotten that late in the round. I from my most recent memory. Because I don't think anyone we have has been either. I think they've been drafted higher if they're in that same caliber, but we're not going to get someone like David Pastrnak, or the chances are very unlikely we would. So we need to start kind of stacking our odds into the higher ups of the up draft and hoping we get a young core, because we're not getting anyone in the free agent pool. Your best bet in not even in this coming free agent pool, the 2024, the 2025 is probably like Leon Draisaitl. And he's not leaving the Oilers. Who are you going to get? Mitch Marner? A 30? Did you know TJ Oshie is going to be 38 years old next year?
Yeah, I believe it.
I didn't know. I thought he was like in his early 30s. I didn't know he was
fucking ever.
I know. It's
been 10 years since he had his shootout Olympic stuff.
I think it's about that years. It feels like yesterday to me.
It does, yeah. I remember watching that game.
Yeah, it was so sick. That was such a great game. And
a tweet from Jay Fresh just came across my feed here. Checking in on Drysdale, was very surprised by his early 5-on-5 results in Philly. 14 games since the trade, he's got a 41% expected goal share, last on the team by a good margin, and the Flyers have outscored 10-3 while he's been on the ice.
Wow.
So in other words, he's not very good.
Well, I mean,
this is going to be one of those deals when you look back in a few years and Cutter Gauthier is potting 50 a year and Drysdale's just a dude.
I mean, I hope to God he's not just a fucking dude. That'll just be the most flyer shit ever. You traded a prime top prospect for, and for someone who just never was showed his potential. I mean, when you're, hasn't he been partners with Stahl though? The last few games.
So, yeah. He's with York tonight, but I believe he's been playing with Stahl.
You know what? I rest my case. we have a partner like that. Of course you're going to look like shit. What the fuck is... You're better out with the fucking traffic cone than Mark Stahl. At least you could probably... Jamie Drysdale could at least push the traffic cone in position while Mark Stahl just kind of slumps to the ice. Like, down to the ice. My God, he looks every bit his age. I can't stand it. I can't.
It's almost like signing a fucking washed-up 37-year-old was a bad idea.
Yeah, especially
who could have ever predicted such a thing?
Well, you know what's even worse is having him partnered with one of your youngest defensive prospects.
The one guy that needs to succeed to have any hope here of that trade looking good, and you're going to partner with Marshall. But he's a leader. He's a leader. That's all that matters.
Yeah. Yeah, leading my nuts. So stupid.
I don't think he appreciates that. He's a gigantic fucking homophobe. I don't even like that.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I love that we traded one homophobe for another homophobe. Yeah. I like thinking that.
And then preach about how good of a fucking culture leader he is.
Breer goes, he was the replacement for Provorov. I remember him exactly saying that. I was like, oh, because of the homophobia. I gotcha.
Yeah.
You have a kid who throws down wheelchairs and you like having homophobic defensemen. I see your plays, Danny Breer. I see the 3D chess you're trying to play here, or 4D chess. I'm trying to wait for this game to start. I'm very interested to see how they come out of the gate after a couple of days. They're playing so many national games these next few days. They're playing tonight.
There's four of them, isn't there?
They played the Stadium Series game, which was national. They play tonight, which is national. They play a back-to-back this weekend. It's a rivalry weekend against Rangers, then Penguins. They're going to get their shit stomped in by the Rangers. I can already see it. I'm waiting for a Zibanejad 4-goal game against them again. Honestly, just put Cal Pierce in there and let it happen, just so you can have Sam Ersson against the Penguins or something.
He's
going
to have to play one of the two of them.
I think the Lightning game is going to be on... like local. I don't think it's gonna be national. I can't imagine that. But yeah, this last game in these next three. So that's gonna be great. That's gonna be great to watch a couple of those lose. I wonder if Connor Bedard scores on us tonight.
Probably score 7 on us tonight.
Be kind of sick to watch though. Watch we have to have a winning culture. We can't tank. We don't want to tank for players.
We're too proud to tank for Connor Bedard when he comes in and wrecks fucking shop here.
You know, and it's funny because when Hextall preached that stuff when he first came in, he's like, we're not going to just tank to be get the best player. We're not going to cheap out like that. I was like, yeah, we don't need to be that. We could be better than that. We could be better than now. I'm like, fuck it. If there's gonna be a generational player that you're never gonna get in the next 10 years, dude, throw all your good players away. Throw a bunch of AHLers up there and just let us get that goddamn player and then figure it the fuck out again. Because I'm tired of it, dude. I'm tired of hoping we're gonna get some sort of diamond in the rough late in the first round and he ends up being another middle six dude.
And when you do have these guys, they don't even play in the NHL anyway because it's
exactly.
So goddamn critical. Nick DeLaurier plays every night.
Like, I was talking to a friend of mine.
You have Brink. You have Lexel.
Yeah.
You have Tuomala. You have Tyson Forster. You have Amil Andre. You have Ronnie Attard. Where are they right now? All of them except Forster in the AHL. Or Lexel, who's just taking up residency in the goddamn press box.
I think Lexel's dead, and I just don't want to admit
it. He may be.
They might have forgotten him in the press box. He might be just a skeleton with
surviving
on
popcorn
nice
and candy bars up there. Oh.
God, yeah, and big pizzas. Jesus, that's the thing. I was talking to my buddy about this because we were talking about, you know, what would you pay for like a Trevor Zegras trade or whatever, and he was so willing to kind of get Bobby Brink away. And I, I can totally see the scenario of that happening and that being a fair deal. But it's so crazy how quickly we gave up on Bobby Brink, even though he was so stellar in the beginning of the year. Gets kind of, you know, burnt out because, you know, he hasn't played a full year's hockey in a while. I don't think he ever played a full year in the AHL, let alone
the NHL.
Played
half a year last year. He missed the first half of the hip surgery. And he came back January. Looked pretty good, albeit not himself. And then he even talked about it during development camp where he's like, bro, I was not ready to come back when I did. And but he comes out this year, earns a spot out of camp, and then spent 3.5 months in an uphill battle just trying to get ice time. Spent a vast majority of that time in the bottom six, because that's what you want your 5'8" goal scorer playing, his fourth line minutes. And now he's back in the AHL. And for what it's worth, they're using him well down there. I mean, this guy's playing like 40 minutes of ice time a night. That's probably not too far off from the truth, and looking very good doing it. But yeah, I mean, he's pretty much the odd man out. And it seems like with a lot of these guys, it's a one-way trip when he gets sent down there. So,
Do you think he comes? Well, you definitely don't think he comes back up next year. But
no,
would there be room for him at all?
All of your forwards are locked up already.
Yeah.
All 12 of your forwards on this team are locked up.
Yeah. Because there's no one. Because Ryan Poehling was the only one. And then he got re-signed.
Poehling and Tippett were the only ones, and they both were re-signed.
Well.
Couturier, Atkinson, Konechny, Farabee, Lawton, Cates, Hathaway, Frost, Delorier, Tippett, Poehling, Forser. All under contract.
What a waste. You have all those people down. And I get Elliot Desnoyers has not had a great year. It's crazy how terrible of a year he's actually had.
He went from looking like their top prospect to being an absolute nobody. He set the Lehigh Valley Phantoms goal-scoring record last year for rookies. Looked great. Good, solid two-way guy, and this year he just exists.
I'm looking at the forward on Cap Friendly, and the amount of times I'm not seeing like an RFA or UFA in like the next couple years is baffling to me.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple forwards here, but on the whole, I mean, Konechny's getting re-signed, more than likely.
Yeah, definitely, at this point.
Noah Cates probably gets re-signed. I wouldn't be surprised if Hathaway got re-signed.
I'm honestly shocked Travis Konechny didn't get the fucking C. I really am.
That one was surprising.
That would have sealed the deal on any kind of talk of me, because I've always been like, I think it's best to just trade Travis Konechny. I think that's...
me the one last grain of hope that they may actually trade him, that they didn't give him the same.
Maybe. Hey, you know what? That is like the little bit of hope for that.
They just gave it to the guy who was already under contract for the next 20 years.
I mean...
2011 he showed up, and he's going to be leaving in 2030, Sean Couturier.
20 years as a Flyer.
That's insane.
How many Flyers actually have done that? I don't think many, other than, like, say, Bobby Clark.
Even then, I don't think he played. Well, Couturier's missed those 2 years, so maybe close season was. Even so, I think games played total, Couturier's going to have the lead on Clark by like 200 or 300 by the time his career's over.
Jesus Christ.
He doesn't, you know, miss significant time again.
I think you equivalated him. I forget who it was. I think it was on the Noah show. You equivalated him to like Bryson Stott, because people were saying, oh, well, vibes in the culture with the Phillies. And like, you can even go as far as the Eagles when they were doing their Super Bowl run. Oh, yeah, they have a great culture. They had a lot of great chemistry with the team. Great. Where's Bryce Harper? Where's Jalen Hurts? Like, where's that guy? It's not Sean Couturier. I can guarantee you, Travis Konechny is maybe like a Rhys Hoskins at best, if we're going to like compare people.
That's probably a fair comparison.
That's like, he's good, but he's not like,
I don't know. Not great.
He's gonna help your team for sure.
He's
a
locker
not...
room leader, but is kind of meh in overall production.
He likes to chirp. He loves to chirp. I saw the videos from the stadium.
How many turnovers are you gonna allow, bud? And I'm like, yeah. And then what happened? how many did you lose by in that game, Konechny?
God, what a pathetic showing that was. I felt really bad for any Flyers fan at that game, freezing their ass off to watch them just not show up. It makes me glad to know I went to the one stadium series game where they actually won, and it was actually pretty exciting to see them win. That was a fun stadium series, honestly. I would probably go to another one again someday, but not while it's this team.
I wasn't going to fucking MetLife, first and foremost.
Hell, fucking no.
That was my big complaint on this one. No, thank you.
I'd love to go to one Citizens Bank Park. I kind of wish that I went to the Winter Classic all those years ago, even though they did lose. But those Winter Classic jerseys are just so good looking.
They're still the best, yeah.
Oh, they're so good looking. I have a Gostisbehere third one. Or like when it was when they became the third jerseys. I have one of those. So
I have all,
sucks.
At least a dozen team issued ones over the years.
I want more. I want more of at least those jerseys. I want those to be the new jerseys. I don't care about these current ones.
That would be like the ultimate pandering move. And I would thank Breer kindly if he just brought those jerseys back.
It would work. I think it would work very well. You know what? You'd pander the hell out of my wallet, even if it was Fanatics. No, I probably still wouldn't buy it if it was Fanatics.
Oh, boy.
Listen, when you have a hold-ass Twitter that is just retweets of customer complaints of your company, you're doing something wrong.
Did you see the pictures of Shohei Ohtani today? And
with his underwear out?
Yeah, the see-through pants that the Fanatics
Holy
made for him.
Holy shit, dude. Not doing him any favors. We'll just say that. Motherfucker. Oh, God. And, like, the little numbers and the little nameplates on the back of the Phillies jerseys I'm seeing, it just looks so ugly. It's just
yeah, I'm going to buy up as many of the team-issued jerseys from the Flyers this season as I can this summer.
Oh, yeah?
Just keep them, just in case I need them later, because I'm not buying no fucking Fanatic shit if it looks like that.
It's probably for the best that you do.
It's like when I need a Michkov jersey, or if, you know, one of these young guys actually makes it or something along those lines, one of these other prospects shows up and I actually want to own a jersey for him, I'm going to have an Adidas version of it, because this Fanatics thing looks...
Yeah, there's absolutely no shot.
Bad. I thought, you know, it's like, I expected the replicas to be shit, because of course they will be. Mm-hmm. This is what Fanatics is. But I'm like, you know, you paid $1 billion for the rights fees for 10 years to make the jerseys. I'm like, there's no way they're just going to throw this away, right? Like, they're going to take this with some kind of serious. Nope! Apparently not! Based on the MLB shit, they're just going to... The mediocre product's just going to continue. So...
It's just disappointing to see, because you're... Jerseys is just such a great money maker. I have to imagine it's a big portion of a sports franchise's profits.
Yep.
So why would you want to cut corners so hastily and give so much money to such a terrible product of a company, or a company that shoots out such a terrible product? Like, I don't understand, like, from a business like standpoint, why that would be a good idea for them, because I feel like you're just gonna lose. You're either going to get, and it's funny because I was talking to during like the Christmas season, I had a friend who got football jerseys made, or like got from the Fanatics, and they're all fucked up.
I believe it.
One, they got AJ Brown, Kelly Green, and there was just black markings all over the numbers. Just it was like, I don't get how that happens. It was sealed. There's just something got fucked up in the printer. I don't get it. And then something, there was a wrong number on another player's jersey, I remember. It's
yeah. And they're like, the game board market is expensive, but that's why I deal specifically in gamers these days, so I don't have to deal with dumb shit like that.
I mean, it's probably the smarter move at the end of the day. I'll just be happy with the ones I get. I gotta find a Jager Flyers jersey, though. That'll probably be my next jersey purchase.
I have an orange one and a Winter Classic one.
Good for you. I'm happy for you, Dan.
Thank you.
I saw you posted the Sam Marin signed jersey today.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, there it is. Look at that beautiful signature made by such a beautiful tall man.
2021 set 2. His last home jersey.
Did you squeal like a little girl?
Orange jersey. Last he wore two. Would have worn the black jersey twice after that. But
when he said hi to you, were you like?
Deep down, I was. Yeah.
You were like little fangirl moment for you.
Absolutely. It was odd because how do you explain to a guy that I have an alter ego on Twitter that I was your biggest fan for all these years and I've got, you know, every jersey you've ever worn? It's an odd one. So I'm like, hi. How's it going?
Hey, let's play it cool. And you're like, play it cool. Maybe he'll run away with you. You guys can go up to Canada together and, you know, start a new life together in a log cabin.
Hey,
a man can dream. I'll give that dream to you.
I'd be fine with it.
So the Penguins are doing a fire sale.
Supposedly,
do you,
yeah.
Do you think the Flyers bite at any of these guys?
No.
It'd be an interesting move to see if they try and get like Crosby or something.
I know that, deep down enjoy Crosby on this team.
I'd be fine with it.
Even at 40 years old, he'd be their best player by a wide margin.
I would honestly at this point, and I've hated Crosby for years, or like, you know, rivalry hated. I wouldn't say like I hate the guy anymore.
I hated him back in like 2012. These days it's just respect.
Yeah, it's just fine at this point. He's done his he's had his years, he's made his legacy, he's done this, he is going to be recognized as one of the greats. You know, if he got traded to the Flyers, I wouldn't be upset, but I guarantee you half the Flyers fan base would just explode and completely turn on Danny Briere if he made a move like that, especially depending on who he gave up for it.
To be fair, I think most people would explode and lose their shit if the Flyers signed anybody.
It's true. But Zegras, I think
Reinhardt, Drysdale, McDavid.
That's the thing. I really want Zegras.
Anybody
really
besides re-signing Sean Walker, I think there's going to be people that are unhappy with him.
If Danny Briere signs Zegras, I will probably like be a little bit more on board with this whole new era of
Orin. I haven't turned on Briere yet. I guess I was skeptical from day one, quite frankly. But they need to do something here to like differentiate themselves from Hextall and Fletcher, because it just feels like the same old shit at this point. And keeping Walker and Sealer and just bringing them back and just running this group back in its entirety is so dumb. It's like the worst thing they can do right now. Like, you're not going to go out there in cowboy shit and sign a bunch of random guys and try and make something happen. No! They're not going to sit there and rebuild and tank and sell off their valuable asset. No! They're just going to keep it status fucking quo for another year. That's crazy. That is the dumbest possible outcome you can give me right now. I don't want that. I don't want that, and that is where they're heading. They're just totally okay being a hard-working bubble team. And I just hope that the front office isn't as dumb as the fan base and the rumors that have emerged. Like, if we sit here on deadline day and all these guys are still here, holy shit. Holy shit.
Like, if we heard that they did absolutely nothing and they were just like, there was no interest or whatever, we made phone calls, I am going to absolutely turn.
I made 16 phone calls, but nobody would give me a first-round pick for Sean Walker, so we just had to keep him. Here's a 5-year extension.
I'd be so done with it. I would be done with the organization, but I would just know where they're heading.
I would just about be giving up on the last thread I'm holding on to.
It's ridiculous.
If there's no just marked improvement this summer, or especially when we even just the deadline at this point.
Like, I know we all went into the season thinking they would be less than what they are right now. And they've pleasantly surprised us with a much better showing than they did last year. But that doesn't mean you have to keep them. Because
and I'm not even stuck on the ideology of a rebuild. At the end of the day, you don't have to rebuild. I don't give a fuck. But if you're not going to rebuild, that means you need to sign Sam Reinhart. You need to trade for Zegras. You need to get Noah Hanifin. You need to try and make something of this fucking team. Sitting here with the thumb up your ass is not an option right now. You build or you tear down. That's it. That's it. Sitting here for another year running back with the exact same 23-man roster because the culture's good. Fuck you! That's not an option right now. That can't be an option, and it sure seems like that's the path that they've directed themselves for, and it's bullshit!
And to be fair, how do you guarantee that the culture's going to stay the same every year? You can't. You can't guarantee that.
You're building on a complete intangible.
And it's not something that, you know, maybe if you get more talented guys in, and you know, maybe they're not dicks either. You know what I mean? Like, they could also bring good culture to this team.
There may
and
be
guess
good
what?
Players out there that are good culture guys too. You don't have to sign 37-year-old Mark Stahl to
listen.
Have good culture.
I get Carter Hart was supposed to be our franchise goalie, and he's one of the worst culture guys. But they're not all that bad. You know, maybe Trevor Zegras would actually be a fun addition, especially when there's already two familiars. Maybe York and Drysdale actually have an uptick in their game than with Zegras in there. I know they're completely different players, but maybe that culture arises and we get a little bit better defense. You know, the possibilities are a little endless other than if you actually just sit on your hands and do fucking nothing. That's the thing, is like, if you know, you're, we're in a time where progression is needed 110%, and we are doing everything we possibly can to bring fans back. And I get that from a business standpoint because of how bleak things have looked the past few years with, you know, the pandemic and then us just immediately shitting the bed the next 2 years after the pandemic bubble season. Oh, the Flyers have scored. Travis Konecny. But you can't just now just start pandering. Like, I'm one season away from waiting for them to bring the Kate Smith statue back, you know, just for the fucking pandering of it. And I don't know. We're just not, like, there's no point in having a culture when your team's not doing anything worth in celebrating a culture about. Oh, woohoo. We're a first round playoff exit team. We can maybe barely squeak into a second round 1 year out of the 10. Congratulations. Not like, there's no point in that. Why would I keep watching that? I don't want to watch Travis Sanheim. I don't want to watch Ryan
Luckily,
Palin.
He's here for 8 more years.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that. I was very excited Chuck Fletcher made that deal with a no-movement clause and no-trade clauses and shit. It's so baffling to me how many no-trade clauses we have on this team for a team in a rebuild. Like,
God, fucking DeMarco put that out there with the trade protection. The Walker contract, he's going to get trade protection too. Great.
Why?
Just what you need is your 30-year-old getting $5 million a year and trade protection for some reason.
Like, he's not that special. He is a very good, played above his expectations D-man. But he is not the next Kimo Timonen or something. He's not the next Chris Pronger. He's not even the next Jamie Drysdale. Like, I have more hope that Jamie Drysdale can actually figure his shit out before thinking Sean Walker is going to be a significantly better player long term. It's just absolutely fascinating how quickly people are just like, well, trust Danny Briere. Just trust what he does. I'm like, why should I? What reason has Danny Briere given me to trust that he can get this job done? The only thing we got with the interview process with this new organization is Dan Hilferty talked to fucking Danny Briere and said, that's my guy. Didn't, you know, give Kyle Dubas a call. Didn't give anyone a call. Anyone else a call. I said, that's my guy. Then we just got to figure out the front, the director of hockey ops or the president of hockey ops.
Yeah. And they walked down the hall to their television broadcast booth and signed the guy.
And maybe they're looking for Jim Jackson too. And they just found Keith Jones just chilling there eating a sandwich.
You'll do.
Yeah, you watch the Flyers like a lot of the time during the year. He's like, I'm also on TNT. Good enough.
Yeah, it's just like, it's about, you know, people are going to sit here and they're going to listen to this episode and they're going to add us on Twitter the next day and they're going to go, Daniel, you're so negative. Danny Briere is so great and amazing and wonderful. You know, like, you got to take steps to build towards something. This idea, like, this was a Ron Hextall failure beyond all else, was just promising a light at the end of the tunnel, but taking no steps to get to that light.
Yeah.
It's just, one day they're going to be great, and you're going to ignore all the dumb shit that happens along the way in hopes of this glowing light at the end of the tunnel. And the reality of the situation is, like, if they re-sign Walker forever, if they don't acquire Zegras, if they don't make any trades, if they legitimately run this roster back pretty much in its entirety, and they fail next season, or they don't take a gigantic step forward, their first-round exit team this year, their first-round exit team next year, it's the same team, same group, probably same group in 26-27 then as well. It's like, you're going to look back in these times and go like, huh, they should have traded Sean Walker. They should have signed Zegras. They should have done this, they should have done that. You can do it during the entirety of the Hextall era. I gave up on the Hextall era the summer that they didn't sign Kessel and Oshie. Those two were traded for pennies on the fucking dollar. And the Flyers said, nope, we don't need them. And then proceeded to suck. And proceeded to suck for the next almost 10 years now since. It was 2016.
It's
2024 now.
And it's this instant gratification I think we're all tasting. We're all tasting this just like, oh, wow. It's like, Flyers hockey doesn't make me incredibly miserable anymore. So everyone's like, no, they're great. They're fine. We got to sign Travis Konecny for a billion more years. We got to keep every single player on this because look, they're building something with this. But it's they're doing the best that they can do right now. Why wouldn't you want to go out and get someone like Trevor Zegras or get someone like Noah Hanifin to, oh, they just, Blackhawks just scored. Like, get someone like Noah Hanifin out here and make your defense just significantly better. Make your offense significantly better. You have no center prospects. You have no future with that. These are big questions that are coming within, a subject of a rebuild and that they keep preaching. Okay, great. I'm very excited to see this rebuild with no center prospects and our best players being in this, down the middle being Sean Couturier, Morgan Frost, and maybe Elliot Danoin if you ever got his shit together. But Ryan Poehling, like, great. All right, that's very exciting to me. There's nothing. And then maybe watching Owen Tippett hopefully figure it out.
Morgan Frost, Scott Laughton, Ryan Poehling. Those are your four NHL centers right now.
Yeah, I'm so stoked on that. Watching
Who?
It still makes me mad that they didn't get rid of Scott Laughton over the offseason. Now he's just he's doing what we were talking about in the summer. We said verbatim, these guys are going to get passed up for draft picks. Like they're not, like, we're going to get high draft picks, but they're not high enough. And then they're going to think, okay, let's see what we can do. Oh, Connor Bedard just. Oh, I thought Connor Bedard just scored. oh wait, that wasn't Connor Bedard. I'm an idiot. Just another player with a 90 number. Now I lost my train of thought. Fucking goddamn! I'm turning this game off. It's distracting me. It's making me lose my train of thought. Regardless, there's no point to keeping anyone on this team. Even though they're doing good now, they're not. There's no guarantee they're going to be doing good later. I think we need to be thinking long term. Even if they kept saying it's going to hurt for a few years. It's going to hurt for a few years, and then we get a year like this, and everyone's like, oh, this rebuild shit's fun. rebuild shit's easy.
We talked a lot on the Dylan show, but it's Laughton had all these high rumors in the 2023 offseason of teams that wanted to pay through the nose for the guy, and they said, now he's too important to the culture, so they kept him. And then he plays this season, complete shit, value tanks, borderline worthless. And it's like, when you look at Sean Walker, this is a guy who has been just a dude for most of his career. He comes in, he has his great season. And even if you re-sign him just for 1 year, you have to assume that he can then do this again for another season.
Yeah.
What happens when he just defaults back to just a dude? You go from potential first-round pick, maybe second-round pick, to just, hey, here's a fifth-round pick next year's trade deadline to get him the fuck off the team. And that's assuming that he would just sign 1 year. When they give him a 5x5 contract, he's going to actively drag this team down for the next half decade.
Yeah, I can't wait to see the Philadelphia Cultures next year. They're going to change their name and everything. It's going to be great. It's going to be great to watch our best players.
That's one of the 1,000 ways to fly, by the way. Fucking high blood pressure from watching the Flyers do dumb shit.
Yeah, your blood pressure be as high as a fucking plane. So stupid. I don't know. Oh, but every episode will be a one way of 1,000 ways to fly. That's your first one. Number one, high blood pressure. I've been listening to some of those tip to tips. I mean, it's all just old stuff mostly, but so it's nice to hear.
Half of it is old stuff.
Some of it's new. I listen to the newer things than the older things.
Newer episodes go up Thursday. It's all the shit we recorded back in November and December. And Monday is From the Vault episodes of Flyers Are Chat, some of our favorite episodes. So that's up until he returns.
Woohoo! Guatemalan prison.
Yeah.
That guy's gone. Yeah. Well, so 15 more days to the trade deadline to see if Danny Briere does.
You want to make official predictions what happens at the deadline?
All right, if I'm going to be hopeful, I think Sean Walker's gone. I think that's it. I don't think Nick Seeler's gone. I don't believe Risto Lyon's going to be traded. I don't see anyone else being moved. I do not see Mark Stahl getting any calls. Unless it's for a bag of pucks. And you know what? I'd be happy to take that bag of pucks. I'd be happy to take a traffic cone for Mark Stahl, because anything would be better than him. But I think at least at this point it's just gonna be Sean Walker. I think this I can subscribe to this talks of like, oh, it's going out and being like, oh, they're having discussions about extension, but it's really just casual talk and they're just trying to up the price or something. But I'm thinking late first rounder for Sean Walker, and that's literally it. And then maybe we'll finally go back to 12-6 for the rest of the year. That's it. That's going to be it. And then I think maybe in the offseason, hopefully, we get Trevor Zegras. If we get Trevor Zegras, I'm here. I'm on. I'm in. Dan Reer, I'm on your train.
They won't.
They won't.
No matter how much I beg for it, they won't.
I'm trying to think of what they would look like, this roster would look like next year if they do absolutely fucking nothing.
Well, it's going to look just like this roster.
That's like, Zamula will be gone, though. Like, say, like, they let all the free agents walk. They don't buy out Pal Peterson or Cam Atkinson, which would, like you said before, probably financially beneficial buyouts. We get, the 12 forwards are locked up. You lose Mark Stahl, Nick Seeler. I'm just saying, like, if they don't resign him, Sean Walker and Igor Samula, maybe, if they decide to let him walk. That's it. And so you might be able to get Addard and Emil Andre moved up just by default.
Theoretically, but they won't. They'll sign other random depth guys.
I'm just saying, if they don't sign anyone.
There's no reason why either one of them aren't on this roster, by the way. Other than the fact that you just overcrowded the fuck out of your defense by choice. But
it's yeah. There's no point in them, especially
why is your
Emil
power
Andre.
Play failing when Emil Andre is like one of the better power play point men in the AHL right now. Huh.
Yeah,
can't
Ronnie.
Figure it out.
Crazy how you could have Emil Andre playing power play one, and you could probably have Adder playing power play two, and maybe actually do something worth a damn.
Yeah, you would think. But be crazy. You know, they have fucking Ollie Lexell here, who led the AHL in power play goals.
Who?
They don't even use him. So
I don't even know who you're talking about anymore.
I don't. Ollie think. Lexell. I do think they ultimately trade Sean Walker.
I think they will.
I do think they trade Walker. Beyond that, I don't know. Seeler should be gone, but I don't think they're going to get rid of these guys
if
they don't have to, because they're going to keep the playoffs in mind. And thus Seeler and Stahl become the de facto guys.
If I was Danny Breer and I was in his shoes and I was making trades, I would, and you know, things worked out perfectly for me, and I know in a perfect world that doesn't happen. I would be happy with a mid to late first rounder, even just late for Sean Walker. I honestly, if you could package Nick Seeler and Sean Walker and get a couple first rounders or a couple draft picks and maybe like a rehab project, someone you can work on, I'd be happy with that. Or I'd be happy with getting some sort of draft pick for Ristolainen, and I wouldn't be too opposed to retaining some of that salary. Also, I'd like someone else off this team in the forward group, but they're not fucking Scott Laughn, I'd also trade. Scott Laughn would be someone I would actually try and
Laughn's
do my best
an
to trade.
Interesting one, whether they actually pull the trigger this time. They should, but I don't think they will.
If Scott Laughn's traded, I will be more than fine with Ryan Poehling getting re-signed. I will be completely cool. What's up, buddy? You're a Flyer for the next 2 years. But if you still have Scott Laughn on this team, you're just bunking up your centers with a bunch of dudes. An aging dude, a dude who never played to everyone's expectation of him. Another dude who's played a pretty, you know, culture role. And then Ryan Poehling, who he's just been here for not even a year. So I don't have much of an opinion on him. So, I think Scott Laughn should be traded. I think you should go. If I was Danny Breer, I would do everything in my power to see what I can get
him out
there.
Are they going to look a gift horse in the mouth twice?
Seriously, especially if someone gives me, even if it's like the Blackhawks give me like the 32nd, or not the Blackhawks, the whoever the last remaining team is in the draft for the first round, I would take that pick over having Scott Laughn. I'd rather build a future. Because I have no hope for us getting some sort of free agent that's going to move the needle like someone. Like, you're not going to find, you know, going back to baseball, you're not going to find that kind of Bryce Harper deal. Like, that whole offseason where Bryce Harper was going to be a Philly. You're not going to have that kind of, it doesn't happen anymore in hockey. I'm not seeing it. We were just talking. I was just telling you I was looking at the 2025 free agent pool, and I was thinking, how many of these guys actually are going to be in the free agent pool by this time next year? Probably none.
Probably none. Yeah. I mean, the free agency is just so undependable these days. Nobody makes it. You get one guy a year if you're lucky. This year it's going to be Sam Reinhart, if you're lucky. You know, it's just like, you just can't do that anymore. You rarely get one guy making it, let alone two, three, four, or five guys to actually pick from. It's just, shit doesn't happen like that anymore. You got to draft your talent, or you have to pay out the nose to get them. And the Flyers haven't done either one of them over the last 10 years.
Could they even pay out their nose to get anyone? But they'd have to take a bunch of people out to even do that.
They do have some cap space. I don't know what the number is if they run the exact roster back. But it's some. They could make one add if they really wanted to. But
about a million caps, projected cap space.
They have, if they buy out Atkinson and Peterson, that alone gives them quite a bit of money to wheel and deal with. So it wouldn't take much. But at the end of the day, if they give $5 million to Sean Walker, that pretty much takes out any who would hope they have them.
I will say, if this does seem to be more of like a Hexall kind of regime where it's one foot in and one foot out, at least we have Brent Flair until Chuck Fletcher gets a job at Wendy's. Then he'll go be the assistant general manager at a Wendy's with Chuck Fletcher. But for now, at least you have someone who can at least pick good players and not try to be the smartest person in the room and get Gerben Rusoff or Nolan Patrick when your entire advisory board is asking for, what was it? It was a Makar, and who was the other guy? Heiskanen? Yeah. Like, at least I would assume they would pick a little better than that, even if they are picking late rounds. But I can't put my faith in those guys anymore. I would put my faith in like a Cutter Gauthier.
It doesn't even matter if they draft, because they're not going to play him in the NHL.
At this point, no.
Like, all these, we're going to acquire more draft picks to populate your AHL team and then make sure they never play in the NHL anyway.
Yeah, especially with Tortorella having just a hard-on for some of these. I don't get why Nick DeLaurier gets minutes. If you're only going to give him 5 minutes a night, what's the fucking point of having him here? I get he play
because
like
you may need to punch somebody in the face that night, and he's the guy.
Cool. Great. Don't you have Garnet Hathaway that? Isn't Garnet Hathaway?
Garnet Hathaway, he's a leader, Andy.
Garnet Hathaway has 76 penalty minutes. He's leading in penalty minutes. He could punch things.
Oh, that's what DeLaurier is for. That guy's got irreparable CTE. They just got to keep adding on to it. If he's not punching people, he's not doing a goddamn thing.
I mean, I'd rather have Ollie Lexell on the power play. That'd be more my thing.
Fuck, you'd think, but nope!
I don't know. That's the one thing I'll always say about Tortorella that confuses me. And, you know, I've liked Tortorella for the most part. I have no real complaints, but this is one of my complaints.
On the whole, he's fine, but this is the kind of shit that you're going to look back on in a few years when the Flyers inevitably don't do anything and go, huh, it's almost like they should have been developing their prospects all along instead of giving these minutes to Nick DeLaurier. It's the same way we look back with Hextall. Why play fucking Travis Sanheim and Sam Rann when we can play Andrew McDonald every night?
Oh, kill me, dude.
We just need to give Chris Vandevelde minutes. We can't call up, whoever a forward was back then. We can't do it. We need to fucking call Chris Vandevelde and Pierre Belmar.
Why have Anthony Stallworth play in the NHL when you have Michael Neuwirth?
Michael Neuwirth and the corpse of Brian Elliott to go out there and play.
Oh, my God. That was such a rough year. When they had to do like six or seven different goalies.
Eight.
That's what it was. Eight. Oh my gosh. That was a terrible, terrible year.
Who would have thought going into the year with Michael Neuwirth and Brian Elliott coming off core muscle surgery would have been a bad idea.
Anyone with a brain?
If Hextall just signed a goaltender that summer, he probably would have been employed for a lot longer than he was.
Probably at least another year or two. Probably could have at least like squeezed by for another year or two. But, we would have gotten traded Jay O'Brien again. If Jackson was here, he'd draft Jay O'Brien again.
It makes me irrationally fucking laugh every time the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins play the Penguins and play the Phantoms rather, and Jack St. Ivany is on their back end right now. That's hilarious to me. A random Hextall draft pick that he just signed when the Flyers didn't opt to sign him. Hextall signed him, and he's been on their AHL team ever since.
Wow.
That makes me just irrationally happy every time.
Nothing makes me happier than know that Hextall was the GM of the Penguins and just utterly was like single-handedly caused their downfall. It just makes me kind of tickles me a little pink to watch that be like the kind of the end of the Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin dynasty is Ron Hextall bucking that up and Kyle Dubas coming in to try and clean it all up and now going, let me hear what you got. Even though Malkin and what's his fuck, Letang got re-signed for how many fucking years? He can at least go like, listen, anyone, I gotta fix this fucking team, man. At least they have a competent GM to do it now.
All right, everyone, it's called a fucking night here. I've had enough.
I'm so excited game. For the future.
Yeah, I no, I'm not.
I know
because they're gonna do it wrong. I got some reading to do, so let's call it a night.
You got to read about docking. So
it's a great book. Everyone should check it out. $6 on Amazon.
The 8th. That's when the deadline is?
Yes.
So I'll probably be back here right before the trade deadline. Great. So we'll have the same conversation. What's going to happen?
Yeah. But,
to be fair, I think it was like 14 days before the trade deadline that people started doing things last year. So maybe some.
Yeah, I mean, with any luck, you know, the Flyers won't wait till, you know, 2:59 p.m. on Friday to make a trade and we can actually talk about it in the days leading up to the draft.
Come on, Breer. Give me something to talk about.
But, yeah, Dylan was up yesterday, his first debut episode on his show. Did Noli Pod earlier, that return. Katie was on Sunday. We got new freaking Flyer, I think, on Friday. I haven't actually confirmed that yet. But that'll be up Sunday for y'all, one way or the other. And, yeah, plenty of shit up on the website, brotherlypuck.com, at Dan the Flyer Fan, at brotherlypuck, at brotherly underscore pod, Dan the Flyer Fan underscore jerseys over on Instagram, if you want to check that out. And, Christ. Papa! There you go.
I was going to say, don't tell me if I forgot my name. You could just say Papa.
Papa.
My Twitter handle is Papa Flyers, spelled how it is. Yeehaw. I don't have any way to... It feels so awkward always saying that. I don't know why. So I'll always just be awkward about it.
Okay.
Good first show.
The first of many, I'm sure.
First of 1,000, at least.
Yeah. God. Can you imagine sitting here in 10 years from now, episode 1,000?
I can't wait. I hope we're old and gray in the face and going, well, Nick Delore's been resigned to another 10-year contract, no movement.
Sean Couturier's still here.
He doesn't know where he is because he has so much fucking CTE.
Oh,
All right. We keep going.
All right, everyone. Till next time, goodbye and good night.